Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A lot of different philosophies in baseball last 5, 7, 10 years as well. We're joined now by David Sampson. And David, CBS Sports HQ Major League Baseball analyst, former Miami, Florida Marlins executive, and he's got a new project that I believe is going to announce it for the first time right now on the show. David, what's happening, buddy? How you been?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing well. Man. What do you have brewing, man? Yeah. What's the new deal here?
Well, starting on October 14th, there's a new show coming out. It's called Nothing Personal with David Sampson. It's a 45-minute nice. Audio and video podcast where I'm going to talk about sports, and I'm going to give all the listeners really insight because over 18 years, I've had a chance to see a lot of things and do a lot of things. So I'm going to try to decode all of the mysteries that surround trending sports stories, and I'm going to really tell it like it is.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be brutally honest. It's going to be funny. It's going to be interesting. And I think the CBS bosses are going to be watching carefully because I'm going to talk about a lot of different things.
Nice. Well, let me ask you.
That's awesome.
Where can we find this, David? It's obviously a week or so away, but where can we find it?
So starting Monday the 14th, you can download it wherever you get your podcasts every day for your afternoon drive home.
Mm-hmm.
And then starting the 21st, if you watch CBS Sports HQ, from 3 to 3:30, you can see me doing the show. And if you want the full 45-minute video show, it'll be available on the YouTube channel on CBSSports.com. And so it's going to be available pretty much everywhere, video and or audio. And it should be exciting, called Nothing Personal, because at the end of the day, guys, it really is just business for me. It's definitely nothing personal.
It's not but how did you not name it Wait to See? I mean, that's what you're known for in the hashtag world. How is it not called Wait to See?
So there'll be a segment, Wait to See. There will be segments because one of the things that I don't like is the lack of accountability. When I ran the Marlins, there were people in the media who were saying things, and they really didn't have information. And then when they turned out to be wrong, they would not go back and say they were wrong. So I'm going to keep track of things that I say. And when I'm wrong, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to acknowledge it because I'm not always right. When I was running a team, I wasn't always right. And now on the media side doing the show, I won't always be right. It's not like correcting the errors like other shows do.
Yeah.
It's exactly when I say that things are going to happen and they don't, it's a wait to see. And then we waited and then we saw and I was either right or wrong.
I like it. Accountability. That's a good scoreboard. So David Sampson is with us. Good luck on the project, man. Happy that you announced it here. It sounds interesting. You're a smart guy. You're a good follow on social media. Former executive of the Marlins. I know we're going to start talking baseball now. TG's
yeah.
with us here on the show.
You know, David, we have an interesting matchup happening tonight in Houston against the Tampa Bay Rays. It's down in Tampa Bay, and it's basically Justin Verlander versus the bullpen for Tampa Bay. That's how it's going to work out, it looks like. But Justin Verlander is pitching on 3 days' rest, which BT, you know, agrees with this because it gives him a chance to potentially pitch game one if they should close out tonight against the Yankees.
And at least certainly game two at the minimum.
In the ALCS. I mean, are you okay with this philosophy? We were because he's 36 years old. He knows his body. He's not going to let himself get into trouble. But what do you think about this for the Houston Astros?
So I'll tell you guys a story. I was waiting online with Jack McKeon and the rest of the team in 2003. He was our manager. And we were flying to New York. And we hadn't decided whether Mark Redmond would start game six or Josh Beckett would start game six on short rest. And I said, Jack, what are you thinking about? How are you thinking about this? And he said, Sparky, and that was my nickname. He said, Sparky, you want to win? Then we're going Beckett. And I said, well, don't you want to save him for a game seven? He said, absolutely not. Forget that. Forget tomorrow. We want to win today. I'm going with my best. My best is Beckett, period. And we loved Mark Redmond. He helped us get to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
But he had not had a particularly great postseason. And Beckett had pitched great in the LCS. And he said, there's no discussion. And he said, Sparky, you try to talk me out of it. You might as well not come to the game because Josh Beckett's starting game six.
That was a tough World Series for my boys. I'm not going to lie to you, Dave. I thought that was going to be a Braves, man. You know, after what the Yankees, you know, win it in 96, mm-hmm. win it in 98, win it in 99, win it in 2000, lose on a broken bat, base it up the middle with Mo against Arizona in 2001. I'm like, finally, a World Series I don't have to really sweat yeah. through. We got the Marlins coming in, and they danced on our turf, that's for sure. David Sampson is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Listen, in totality, while the Yankees, their defense last night was phenomenal, I believe, like many do, the Astros are a better baseball team based on their starting rotation. But if this thing goes to five and the Yankees can clearly, they can set up their rotation, their bullpen, is which is already relatively rested with Chapman, I think this is, I don't want to say the only way for the Yankees to maybe steal this series if the Astros advance, but probably their best shot. Because if the Astros come in lined up with their rotation, I think the Astros beat them.
Well, really what happens is if they do go five, you're going to have Greinke starting game one, and then you're going to go back to Verlander and Cole in two and three, and then you're going to have Cole lined up to start a game seven instead of Greinke, mm-hmm. who if the rotation lines up perfectly, it would be Verlander, Cole, Greinke, and then Greinke again in seven potentially. So I don't mind for the Astros having their rotation backwards, as a matter of fact.
Interesting.
And thinking back to the 03 World Series, both rotations were backwards by the time they made it to the World Series, both the Yankees and the Marlins, and that's not the real factor. The issue for the Yankees is going to be they've got to get more innings out of their starters. And they, in a five-game series, they got away with it by sweeping the Twins, but they've got to win eight more games out of the next 14 is how I'm looking at it. So they just have to go 8-6, but they're going to need more outs from the rotation.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. The Washington Nationals, who play tomorrow night, in game five, the closeout series against the Los Angeles Dodgers. Look, they lose Bryce Harper this offseason. It felt like, you know, it was going to be a down year. It obviously wasn't. They win the wild card. They've taken two from the Dodgers already. I mean, how overachieving is this Washington Nationals squad where the expectation wasn't nearly this at the beginning of the year?
Well, I think I may have been on your show when I said that by losing Harper, it was actually addition by subtraction. So I believe from the beginning the Nationals were going to be a better team without Harper in the lineup and without him in the clubhouse.
Why would you say that, David? I remember you did say that, but why did you think that?
Because my experience and my view of him is that it just wasn't working in Washington. If you look at how much they underperformed with the team they had over the years, Harper just wasn't helpful enough to them. And look what happened in Philadelphia. They were supposed to be great this year. They're my number one disappointment of the season, with the Red Sox being number two and the Padres number three. But look what happened with the Phillies. They spent stupid money, according to their owner. They brought in JT Realmuto, the best catcher in the game, the biggest free agent, Bryce Harper. And they just were not able to get it done at all. They were a 500 team. Now look at the Nationals. They kept Rendon, and they may get to sign him. They may not. They signed Patrick Corbin, which gives them three great starters, and Strasburg has been pitching for money, which is a not all players can step up when they're pitching for money or playing for money, and he certainly has. So the Nationals are a deep team. They have a 21-year-old who's like Miguel Cabrera when he was 21 and Juan Soto. I'm not sure where the holes are with the Nationals, but I'll tell you, all the pressure tomorrow is on L.A. My God, they must be so tight right now, they can't breathe.
Yeah, it's palpable, no doubt. You mentioned Soto. We talked about that, obviously, the next day when he ripped that base hit to right field against Josh Hader. Pure filth coming in from the left side against the lefty. I mean, that shoulder was locked in. The mechanics were flawless. I agree. He is a great young player. But I would question Rendon. Listen, I mean, I know he's a really good player. He's a doubles machine. He's a good fielder. I know he's good. 7 years, 215. The guy doesn't sell tickets. He only had a lot of home runs this year because the ball is jacked up. I mean, if you're running the Marlins and you had the money to spend, would that seem like a wise offer, 7 years, 215 for Rendon?
No, I don't think any player's worth it. You know, we signed Stan to that big deal because we were the Marlins and we had never really had a franchise player stay with the team. We wanted him to be on our Mount Rushmore of Marlins players. We wanted him to retire a Marlin. We were hoping for the first time in the history of the franchise through all the different ownerships that we'd have a player who would stay. So we offered him a deal he couldn't refuse. But again, he was willing to do that. He had just been hit in the face with a pitch, as you recall, and he hadn't even come back yet. So we made it impossible for him to say no. Rendon, I think you're underselling him. He's a top defensive player, and he is an outstanding offensive player, gap to gap. The home runs are a bonus. And for me, the reason why he said no is that his agent it's the usual, right? When you have Boris as an agent, you're not saying yes to anything during the season unless it's so out of whack, like with Strasburg, where there's a concern of injury and lack of performance that you take the money offered during the season or before you need to. But Rendon's going to test the market. And what I can't wait to talk about with you guys offseason is when we hear from Boris the same thing we heard last offseason, which is Bryce Harper is the greatest offensive game changer in the game, because now you're going to take out Harper's name and insert Rendon's name. And then when he signs, you'll insert J.D. Martinez's name. So I can't keep track of who the best player is anymore.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I want to challenge you. I don't think I'm underselling Rendon at all. I gave him his due. You know, terrific with the leather, big-time doubles, back-to-back. I believe it was 43 and 44. He led the league in doubles. I know he's terrific. But, David, he's going to be 30. And, you know, not that 30 is old, but to start attaching 7 years to somebody who's 30 is not a wise move. And more than that, you've got to be able to have the money that you're giving him, you know, come back to you. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think people are running to the will call saying, you know, I got to go watch Anthony Rendon. Say what you will about Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper sold tickets. Anthony Rendon doesn't sell tickets.
Yeah, Bryce Harper didn't sell nearly enough tickets. I can't think of any player who sells enough tickets in order to make a $30 million salary make sense. What you hope when you have a guy making that much is that you make the postseason, you get incremental revenue that way along with the asset appreciation that you get, and that's how you can explain it to your owner. But you're right. I wouldn't offer Rendon 7, 2, 10, 2, 15.
Okay.
I don't see how he gets better than that. I would not offer him more than 3 years, because the premium on young players, there will be another Rendon. And Juan Soto, as an example, is probably better than Rendon.
Yes.
And they're going to want to sign him. There's always the next guy up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why teams like Tampa interest me, and Oakland. They're forced to be smart. They're forced not to sign these type of deals because they can't afford to. So they have protection from themselves. And that's something that larger market teams don't get, that protection.
Yeah.
And they make these signings that feel so good during the offseason, and then they feel so bad after that.
Yeah, you win the day, and then you're stuck with a price tag that nobody wants to be stuck with. David Sampson is with us. By the way, if you just tuned in, he just dropped his new project. It's called Nothing Personal with David Sampson, a daily show. It's going to be on CBS Sports HQ, a video audio podcast. Of course, former executive with the Marlins. You see him on Le Batard all the time. And what date does the show drop again?
October 14th, next Monday, the audio drops wherever you download your podcast. October 21st, it starts the video on CBS Sports HQ.
I love it.
Hey, David, so yesterday the Braves had a chance to close out their series against the Cardinals, and up by a run, they had the bases loaded twice, and the Cardinals were able to get out of that situation. It feels like the Braves are the, you know, quote, better team, but they lose one, and now the series is tied. Now, how deflating is that for this team, and really how encouraged should the Cardinals be?
Well, this series has been back and forth. We predicted a five-game series from the beginning, and you've seen the Cardinals' bullpen blow a save. You saw Flaherty not able to get a victory, which is shocking given that he's been probably the best National League pitcher in the second half for a team playing meaningful games. So I'm eliminating DeGrom from that conversation, really, except for maybe a week or two when they were in it. So, you know, what's deflating is when you lose and you know that you're facing Flaherty and you're counting on Foltynewicz to match what he did in Game 2. And I'm trying to think of the last time he had two starts in a row that were as good as his last start was in the DS. You know, 7 innings, his slider was a knockout, knee-buckling, impossible to hit. Oh, my God, this is an ace type of slider. And not every time that you walk out of the bullpen, if you're Foltynewicz, do you have that in your arsenal? And that, to me, is what should concern Atlanta.
All right, we got about 30 seconds, maybe a little more. Number one, did Mickey Callaway get unjustly fired? And number two, not who should they hire, who do you think they actually hire?
Here's what happens when you have a problem with the team and a new general manager. Brody Van Wagenen is not going to fire himself. And the Wilpons say, listen, a change has to be made. It's either you or the manager. Let me know which you prefer.
Yeah.
And so, of course, it's going to be Callaway. And the problem is now, whoever's the next manager, there's no more line of defense before BVW gets it if the Mets have another bad year. So it's going to be interesting to see who they choose. And I think it's going to be an argument in the front office between a younger, analytic, cheaper manager versus one of the established veterans who's out there, like a Girardi or a Showalter, who's going to have a price tag of $4 to $5 million, where now managers are really only making $1 million, $500,000 to $1 million, and they're young guys with no experience. The problem is their GM has no experience. So it's not like the Cubs where you could hire David Ross and be okay because you have Theo. The Mets do need someone to really help Brody, and I think Showalter could be that guy because he's got the gravitas and he's run a team. He knows what to do on the field and off the field. And frankly, from a window standpoint, people get sick of Showalter after 4 years, let's say. Yeah. And the Mets have 4 years right now with that rotation where, in theory, they could be good.
Hey, listen, congrats on the new project. Nice baseball conversation. David Sampson, formerly of the Marlins, part of the CBS family. Congrats, man. Happy for you. Good job.
Hey, thank you, guys. We'll speak again soon. Appreciate it.
Be good, Dave.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.